To Mike when I know she hadn't had a quiet time yet. I was at the gym this week. Hey, let's get something straight here. Do you think this body stays in this kind of shape without me working out? I'm buff, man. I'm just insulated well. I'm insulated. While I'm in the gym, there's a couple guys that work out there. The Bufords own the gym. It's called Journey Fitness. It's by the Walmart on about 109th. Great gym. It's small enough to be small, but big enough to have everything you need. It's very, very affordable. It's just a good place to go, and it's clean. You can shower in there, and it's clean. They got big, thick towels. It's just clean. Okay. I've spent a couple nights there when Lynette has thrown me out, and you know it's a nice place to go visit. You know. But while I'm in the gym, there's a couple guys there that work out all the time, and I found out they were Christians. Two of them are ministers. One guy's just a businessman that's Christian. And so he was right next to me. I was on this stretching machine where you stretch stuff out. You know, it's a thing. You put here and you stretch, and the fat goes this way, the fat goes that way, and it helps stretch everything. And so I did a typical Christian thing, and I said to him, "What's God teaching you right now?" I didn't really want to know. It's just one of those, like, how are you doing things? You know, I didn't mean it like, you know, tell me. But then he said this to me. Huh? No, hang on a minute. Watch this. So he looked at me and he said this. He goes, "I'm learning how to seek God violently." That's what I said, you know. So I said, "What does violently mean?" And he goes, "Someone breaks into your house, okay? They start attacking your wife. What are you going to do?" "You're going to get violent. You are going to get violent." He said, "I have to go to God with an attitude of, I'm coming here violent. I'm coming here and I'm staying here until I hear from what God has to say to me. I'm coming to him violently, not passively, not I hope so, violently." And it just really, the more I pondered it that day, it really spoke to my heart. And then he said this, and I shared a little bit last week. He goes, "I started a new book." I go, "What does that mean?" He goes, "Insurance agents have books. And they got years and years and years of stored up stuff." He goes, "Well, I'm starting a new book. I'm tired of looking back at all the things God has done in my life and living on that. I want to have a new book that goes forward that says, what is God doing in my heart today?" Which triggers something in my mind, and it's been a thought I've had for the last 10 days. Make this about God, not about you. Make this about God. Am I making this about me, or am I making it about God? Who am I making this about? So I start my day saying this. Here comes a temptation. And I said, okay, here's my choice. Am I willing to do what's best for God, or do I want to do what I think what's best for me? Well, every time I sin, it's because I'm trying to do something that I think is best for me at that moment in time. But if you had the attitude, how can I do something that's best for God? Well, that's a bunch of what Peter's trying to get across to us. This is our last week. We're finishing up 2 Peter, and then we're moving into a new series next week. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people do you ought to be? You ought to live holy, godly lives. Now, if you knew tomorrow was the last day, would you spend this whole day wondering what was best for you? Or what could I do that's best for God? That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. There's global warming. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven, a new earth, and a home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Let me tell you what that means to me. God could bring judgment anytime he wants. Agreed? His patience is someone else's salvation. Because you know what? He's patient in giving people still the opportunity. to get into the kingdom of God. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom of God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them in these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort. Get back to that in a minute. As they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. They distort. Folks who don't know the Word of God should not try to quote the Word of God. I love politicians that start quoting the Word of God. You know, it's like, you know, you don't have any clue what you're talking about. And you're quoting this thing like you think you know. So, we're told that the Lord is not slack. He does not delay when it comes time to do stuff. When it came time to get the Israelites out of Egypt, God was right on time. When it came time to take them through the wilderness, God was right on time. And so it makes me say this. There is an appointed time when the world will be judged. God knows that time. Christ does not know that time. Now explain that to me, how they're one, and they're so one in everything, but this one thing, God has withheld from his Son, which tells me it's not just God, it's God, Son, Spirit. Here's the Trinity now, okay? And God is withholding this information. I can't explain that to you. I don't want to argue with you about it. All I know is the Bible tells us Jesus doesn't know the time. God knows the time. And when it's time, guess what happens? It's going to be time. God has not forgot what time it is. Today, lost folks, or the carnal Christian says this, hey, there's plenty of time to figure this out. Hey, listen, maybe when I get older, I'll trust Christ. There are very few people who get saved on their deathbed. Very few people. I listened to a tape that Stephanie Robinson put on the internet. It was all the voice recordings of the people on the planes while the plane was going down. There was no one on those planes saying, Lord Jesus, save me. They all kept saying the one thing, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. No one was saying, Lord Jesus, please forgive me my sins. That to me, that was emotional for me. The fact that they got all the way to the end. Now, you know, the people who know Christ that were on those flights, they're what? They're praying. They're praying. So, here's your first fill-in. Again, the key issue in the life of man is this. Who's in control of my life? There's your fill-in. What men count slackness, God's part is truly his long-suffering and patience. His patience, his waiting to bring this judgment, just shows how much he loves us. Because at any time, he could slam dunk every one of us and be right. Agreed? Now, here's the next fill-in. Those of us who know God should maintain the course of advancing in holiness and acknowledge and knowledge of the Word of God. We should be what? Advancing. We should be going forward. We should come to God violently until we find him. We should come to God with a passion that goes beyond all the passions we know, where we are so surrendered, we've got to know what it is that God's doing. We've got to know God. We've got to know. Now, do you ever feel like you're always retreating instead of advancing? Anyone else feel that way? You ever feel like you're retreating instead of advancing? Agreed? Well, the problem is allowing my sinful nature to do at times what's best for me instead of what's best for God. So I wrote this. My flesh patterns, we talked about this so much the last couple years, my flesh patterns seem to always resurface when I get a little lazy spiritually and I begin to let down spiritually. And so I think the problem we face is our tendency is sometimes to get spiritually lazy. I called it indifference, to go along, to get along. You know, everything's fine, everything's good. But, you know, we've got to stay almost having that faith that's so dependent on God for every moment of our life. Instead of sitting back passively, we got to come to God violently until we find out what it is he's trying to get across to us. What is he doing in my life? In my life. Let me show it another way. The battle in the mind at times can overwhelm us. Are we agreeing on that? When life's not going my way, what do I like to do? Transfer blame. I want to transfer blame. Counseling couple one time, she didn't like the counseling. When they got out of office, she yelled at her husband for 2 days saying this was all his fault. Because she missed she missed what God's trying to say to her in the counseling time. What's God saying to you? How is God using your children to get you where God wants you to be? How is God using the circumstances of life to get you to where God wants you to be? Do you understand His love loves you right where you are? He's just not going to let you stay there. He can't. He can't let us stay there. Now, let me take it further. Again, here's your fill-in for the last 4 weeks. Again, focus determines my what? Say it. Focus determines my reality. You're going to love this one. For me, it usually comes in the form of my impatience. I'm not very patient. I know that's hard for you to believe. It comes in two forms. My impatience comes with people I know and people I don't know. Other than that, I'm fine. Yeah. You know, life would be great if it wasn't for all these people. But God has taught me really two important things here, and here's the fill-ins. I have to sanctify myself. I have to come to God with an urgency. Instead of feeling sorry for the way I am, I have to purify my heart. I got to confess my sin back to God. I've got to turn my focus again back on God. And I have to have the mentality that says this. Am I doing what's best for God? I mean, get a picture of that in your mind. I know I'm camping out on this because I've been camping out in my own life for the last 10 days. Is this best for God? Is this best for God? Or is what I'm doing best for me? I mean, now what's our nature want to do? Do what's best for me. Do what's best for me. You know, when my front yard becomes a lake, you know, I don't say to God, what's best for you here? Should I build an ark? Which you may have to. You know, what is best for me? Hey, what is God? What's best for God right now? What is God doing? How is God, again, and I have to deal with this all the time, how is God using the circumstances in my home to force me to come to God with almost a violent attitude of needing answers? I knew you wouldn't. I was, boy, it took you long enough.
It's not sitting right with me. And when I look, look at the description, it says using or involving physical force intended to hurt, damage, or kill someone or something.
Yeah, it's called killing that old sinful nature. And
right,
that's my point.
You don't want to seek God violently. That's, intended to hurt or damage.
There's,
I agree,
there's
though.
There's an inherent idea of adversarial nature with violence.
Yeah.
And that's why the word doesn't work.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah, but watch this.
Versus coming humbly and passionately.
Right.
Yeah.
Because violence.
But watch this, though. I can say to you, you got to come humbly and passionate. You know something? That's a whole lot different than I got to have an insight with God today. Watch this.
That's passion.
Well,
passion, not violence.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah.
Just trust me. I got a lot of passion right now, but I have to come humbly. I don't. When you come violently, it infers anger, and I've learned a whole lot about this.
Uh-oh, the prophet's up.
Because anger is a way that we try to seek control. And violence is an inherently angry action.
Okay.
Hang on. It's not your turn.
Okay. I don't think violence has to be in anger. It just usually is. However, in the Old Testament, who was the patriarch that wrestled with the angel? That was violent. And he wouldn't let go in a violent way.
Say you're sorry.
No, not sorry. You know what?
I don't
violence, it was. I still don't think it was violent because it wasn't to do harm. Harm was done to him. He limped the rest of his life. But the violence was not.
I think they were arm wrestling.
Yeah, and watch this. The intention of the wrestling was to what? Gain an advantage. So you're going to have to keep it in the context of what I mean today. I mean it coming exactly what you're saying. But I'm changing the word because that's the word the guy used with me, and I'm only speaking out of the abundance of what I had to work through this week. Do I come to God with such passion that I would act the same way as if you broke into my house and were attacking my wife? I would come at you violently. I want to come to God with a passion that goes beyond my limited passion. I want to come and stay there. I don't want to wrestle with God as much as I've got to have an audience with God, and I'm not leaving until I get it. Well, that's the way I mean it.
He told us to do that when he said to come boldly before the throne. So I just think there's some better adjectives. Bold.
Yeah, I know. Had I said passionately, or if I had said boldly, would we be having this conversation right now? Absolutely not.
So say you're sorry.
No. No. We would not be having this conversation. Because you'd say, ooh, violently, that sounds terrible. Watch this. When Jesus was tipping over the tables, I don't think he was praying for these people. Hey, watch this. Say that again and be quiet for a second. Say that again. Talk louder.
Isn't there opposition between us and God? And should we not violently seek God through the opposition? Us ourselves being one of those oppositions?
That's a great point. But your object is...
Let me explain this to you. Take the tie. Be happy. Take the tie. Be happy. Well, I don't. You're missing. You guys are missing the point of what I mean here. When I say violent, it shook me up to say, do I come with the same passion to God as I do if you're breaking into my house attacking my wife? Yes, there's almost a violence in the fact of I have got to get there where God wants me to be. Bad word, no question. But it certainly simulated some conflict in here today, didn't it? Hey, watch this. I'm with my wife too, but don't you tell her that. Now, hang.
Real quick. Go ahead. What I think missing the point too is what Harry heard from a man is that was a way that God got that guy's attention.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Instead of, and this is a guy thing, and I studied this last week. Mike and Hayes and I had this conversation about authentic manhood, and I'm not, you ladies, I'm not saying this, but if this was a group of guys talking about this, they get it. They go, I'm coming after God, volunteer.
Had that guy said this to me, I'm really coming to God passionately. Hear what I'd have said.
Yeah, put your pink pants back on.
Yeah. Time out. Hang on. Hey, be respectful here. Go ahead. Rose. So here's one of the answers to all this. We're both right. Yeah, take the tie. Sanctify yourself. Number two, seek God God's way. Instead of feeling sorry for the way things are going, ask God how to act. Instead of feeling guilty, ask God what you need to learn. Instead of transferring blame, come to God and ask Him to show you what it takes not to continually repeat what I'm doing that draws me away from God. I'm speaking as an attorney. We're all repeat offenders. We're repeat offenders. I don't have any really new sin I deal with. You know, I'm usually straight up on the old stuff. I'm going to give you a good example of this in the Bible. This story always shook me up. Uzzah, in the Bible, they're taking a cart in, the ark's on the cart. It hits a bump, the thing's going to fall off. He reaches up and holds the ark up so that the ark doesn't tip over. Okay? And here's what the Bible says. And the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, because I think that's the way you say this. Uzzah? Uzziah? What kind of parents did this guy have? And I like it Uzzah better. Uzzah. The Lord burned against Uzziah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down and he died there beside the ark. And here's what I wanted to say to that. Lord, hey, lighten up here. The guy's just trying to keep the ark from falling, and you're going to kill him for trying to do something good? We have a reason to think he had very good intentions to preserve the reputation of the ark and to prevent a bad omen for it touching the ground. It's like an American flag touching the ground. Yet this was a crime, this Levite committed, because only the priest could touch the ark. One commentator said this, God saw the presumption, there's your fill-in, and irreverence of Uzziah's heart. Uzzah.
It's U-Z-Z-A, not I-A-H. I thought you just misspelled it like you do.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, honey. Quiet! I'm sorry, honey. I want you to come violently.
Yeah. Because it'll never happen again. If they want to talk, you were right.
Harry won, Lynette nothing. And we quit.
U-Z-Z-A-H or U-Z-Z-A.
Yes. God saw the presumption and reverence of Uzzah. He was familiar with protocol and how to handle a heart. He got a little bit lazy, and instead of doing what he needed to do, instead of doing what God desires, he did what he thought was best. So watch this. He took a shortcut when God wanted the ark to fall. And he wanted the priest to be responsible. The priest should have been surrounding the cart, not him. In our lives, how many times do we take shortcuts just because it's a lot easier for us? Okay? But we miss the pathway of God. Again, let me say this. He says advance in holiness and knowledge of God. Here's your fill-in. Our flesh is always in conflict with the holiness and knowledge of God. I mean, we're clear on that. Our flesh is always in conflict with the reality and the holiness of God. Okay? Those who know God will love with reverence and obedience and a grateful heart. Okay? Reverence and obedient. Okay, now here's my note to myself. Boy, Brother Harry, you're taking a long way around this passage of Peter. Why? You know, why are you taking such a long way to get there? I mean, you're talking about the ark. You're talking about violence. What are you taking a long way? Get to the scripture. I wrote myself that note. And here's why. Because one day the world will end as we know it. One day it's going to end as we know it. And we better start getting what? Serious about our own holiness and seriousness about our own passion. I took one of my AOL emails this week and shut it down, deleted it, because I get so much junk every day from that mail, and I just decided, if I'm going to grow in knowledge and holiness, why in the world am I looking at stuff that's not very knowledgeable or very holy? Now, I don't want, again, let me make sure we're clear on this. I'm not talking about getting so spiritual you're spooky. Have you been around spiritually spooky people? No, but what I'm saying is, if this stuff is sending me emails that I don't even open, that I don't even want to look at, why in the world would I keep that thing going? You want to talk to me? Get on the church directory, find my phone, and text me. But tell me who you are, please. Don't expect me to know who you are, because a phone number is there. I don't memorize phone numbers. Tell me who you are. Now, God has appointed a day that he's going to judge the world in righteousness. This is a prophetic truth. It's not some make-believe Hollywood movie that one day is going to come, you know what, and then we turn the TV off and everything's going to be all right. No, this is real, and the end's coming. Don't spend all your time. Well, Brother Harry, do you think we're going to see the end of time? I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't matter one little bit to me whether I get to see it or not. Do you think you'll be part of the rapture? I don't care. All I'm worried about is this. Why is it in the buffet line, this person in front of me, Jesus has got to keep looking. You should have made your mind up before you got in the line. Get out of the line. You know, that's what worries me. The stuff I cannot control or deal with, you know what? All I need to worry about is what I've taught you from day one. Christ-likeness, God joy, kid joy. Mate and kid joy. Ooh, wait, this could be a fill-in. This truth God gives us is not speculation, it's motivation. There you go. The end times is what? Coming. So what's Peter trying to get across to us in all this? Because the end is coming, we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent. We need to approach God with a passion that goes way beyond even the words of humble and grateful. I mean, I got to come to God with an attitude of what? This is big. Big. When I come and pray for you, I don't go to God with, oh, you know, Lord, I hope this all... No, I come with passion beyond the passion I have for everyone else because you're my friend. When I pray for you, I go to God in passion. Violent passion. Violent passion. Why? Because I want to make sure God understands what I'm asking for here is what? Big time. So he said, be diligent. So let me throw this out here, okay? And this is big time for me. If you in your life are doubting whether you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please pick up the phone and come to my office and talk to me. Please come talk to me. And let's figure this thing out. This is a decision that's way too big with, oh, geez, I hope so. I don't want to stand before God and say, you know, I hope, you know. No, you need to know. You know. So what's the date? It doesn't matter the date. What matters is this. I know that I know that I know. That's what matters. You with me? I know that I know. Let me take it further. God's diligence is evident in two ways, and I shared them earlier. His patience is long-suffering. That's your fill-in. His patience and long-suffering. I meant it to be just long-suffering. He's patient and long-suffering. I didn't read it right. And patience does not mean approval. Long-suffering does not mean forgetful. Now, let me camp out there a second. God's long-suffering. His patience doesn't mean he's approving of us. And long-suffering does not mean he's forgetful of what's going on. So, several ways we can show this and live in diligence. Number one, live a godly life. Live a godly life. Now, we can spend about 6 weeks in here talking about what does a godly life look like. Why don't you go to God and ask God what a godly life means to you today? What does it mean in your world today? Live a godly life. Number two, live a ready life. live a ready life. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I'm not afraid of dying. I mean, I'm really not. Although that one verse throws me off. You know, didn't you preach my name? Didn't you do this my name? Depart from me, I don't know you. I don't like that verse. I mean, that's a scary verse for every one of us. But you know what? I'm going to be sad leaving here. I'm going to be sad leaving here. You say, why? Well, because I'm going to miss all my friends that are still here. And I really don't know what heaven looks like yet. And the unknown is what? Still unknown. See, I like knowing what I know. And what if there's no golf in heaven? I mean, what if that's really true? Do you see what I'm saying? We get caught up in what we know and what we see here that we don't even look ahead to this new heaven and new earth that's coming. We don't even look ahead. We're really not what? We're not ready. We're not ready. If the Lord said, I'm taking you home, I'm saying, no, I'm not ready yet. You know, I've not really been focusing on you the last month. Why don't you give me a month to get ready? Live a holy life. Okay, now this is going to throw you off. What is the difference between a godly life and a holy life? What is the difference between a godly life and a holy life? What's the difference? Anyone take a shot at that? Because we're out of time, let me just tell you. The godly life is reflecting who God is. The godly life is reflecting who God is. The holy life is to know who I am, being willing to change my personal conduct to reflect who God is. Let me say it again. This is important. The godly life is reflecting who God is. The holy life is knowing who am I, and am I willing to change my personal conduct to reflect who God is? I know who God is, now I want to reflect who God is. So, holy means to be separate. There's your fill-in. Godly means piety or faithfulness. There's your fill-in. Faithfulness. The next one's pretty simple. Be diligent to win the lost to Christ. You know, I'm not going to camp out there. I'm not going to walk out of here saying you should feel guilty because you never led anyone to the Lord. But you ought to be looking for opportunities every time you can to come to Christ. Dallas and Amber in my office about 2 weeks ago came to Christ. Agreed? And we're learning how to what? Do what we need to do. We're what? Trying or what?
Training.
We're training. Okay, now he's going to take longer than you do to train, but it's, you know, it's, we're going to work with him. Now, knowing that, the Jewish nation, their testimony was all about the law. Today, the church is a witness and testimony of God's grace. The rejection of grace leads to destruction, and it's going to be the final takedown for the world. So in our lives, he says, be diligent to grow spiritually. Okay? Anybody in here feel like you've hit the pinnacle of growth? You're not that pinnacle. No, you got room to add on. Trust me. That's why I go to the gym. Buff. Now, grow in God's grace and knowledge. I like what King James says here. You therefore, beloved, since you know beforehand, beware lest you fall into your own from your own steadfastness. I love it where King James says, beloved. Okay, let me give you four beloveds here. He says, beloved, be mindful. Constantly guard yourself. Pay attention. Guard your mind. But let me add this in here too. Don't get so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You understand the difference? Don't get so heavenly minded. You know, if all you talk about is you and your relationship with God in the heavenly realms, and you're not relating to me where I am today, then, you know, is that the best way of you talking to me? That's not always the best way. You know, I can't go to people and say, let me explain the Beatitudes to you. Sit down here. There's only four chapters here. It shouldn't take me more than a couple hours. Let me tell you all the heavenly things you should know. No. You know, you get down to the issue of how do I meet that person where they are? And how do I get them to where Christ wants them to be? Be mindful. Beloved, he says in verse 8, be not ignorant. Don't be unaware, uninformed. Don't be misinformed. He's been telling us something. Don't be misinformed by bad theology. And he says, beloved, in verse 14, be diligent. Be found in him. Find that peace. Find the blameless. Find the peace of God. Find the righteousness and holiness that God wants you to find. Find the peace. Find it. And then he says this. Beloved, be aware. Be attentive. Be awake. My stepdad was real mean to me. I think I've shared that with you before. He's the only person in my life I ever hated. It's just not my DNA. You know, we got to lead him to the Lord, Lynette and I did, sitting at a dinner table. Remember that? He didn't leave me much, except one thing, one little phrase. He'd say this to me, "When are you going to smarten up? When are you going to smarten up?" You know, I never forgot that, because even today I'm learning that if I'm going to do the thing that's best for God, you know, I might need to smarten up a little bit. Be aware. Be aware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, that you walk away from the grace that God has. Here, and I love this. After the cock crowed, Peter, the extremist, became Peter, the most balanced of all the disciples. God was now glorified in his life. So, final thoughts, real quick. Peter told us that we are to have hope. First and Second Peter is all about what? Hope. We have hope. Not only hope how to live through this life, but we have a hope that takes us through life. We have hope. This stuff that's going to happen in the end of time isn't going to affect us because we have hope. Whether we meet him here, in the air, or whatever, we have this hope that we can stand on. I believe Peter tells us from his own life, learn from your mistakes. Don't be a what? Repeat offender. Don't be a grace abuser. Stay focused. Stay focused on what you need to do. Learn from your mistakes. Finally, Peter reminds us the best use of our time is to pay attention to live out truth. Live out truth. Live out what the Bible says is godly truth. So, final two thoughts. Seek God violently. Now, whatever that means to you, it means to you. Me, I want to come with a little more passion than humility. I think if you're coming to God violently, I guarantee you, you're not coming that way unless you're coming humbly. Coming passionately, where we're crying out for God to answer us. And then, the final thought in Peter, and we begin our new series next week. Do what's best for God today. Do what's best for God. What's best for God today? What's best for God? And learn this. I think we all have to have a Peter time of life where the cock needs to crow and wake us up. You know? But I think we walk out of here today with the attitude of what? You know something? I would really like to kick it up to another level between me and God personally. Not just so much corporately, but personally. I want to know that if there's junk in my life that doesn't belong there, and I love getting emails, I love getting letters, but you know what? I got so overwhelmed with junky stuff that it was like I'm wasting time deleting stuff that I don't even want to look at. The people who love me know how to call me on the phone. The people who love me know how to text me on my phone. They know how to call my office. So I'm learning to what? Remove all those things that have the ability to take time away from me and have the ability to keep me from doing what's best for God and doing what's best for me. Amen? Let's focus this week. We start a new series next week on, I think the title is going to be Biblical Stories of Faith. We're going to be looking at different areas of faith. We're going to look at a verse in the Beatitudes this first time. And then week two, we're going to look at King Rehoboam. You might want to look him up. And you say, what about week three? I have no idea yet. So let's be praying for that. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for just the dialogue today of knowing what it means to come to you, not normally, not with just humility and passion, but Father, we would come to you with a desperation, the same desperation that we would defend our family or defend ourselves. Father, teach us to be diligent. Teach us, Father, to be what you desire us to be. Father, help us to really learn what does it mean to focus on doing what's best for God today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you next week.